May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 732. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now, subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Hymn 732.
Thank you. us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the first epistle of John, chapters 3 and 4. The first epistle of John, reading chapters 3 and 4. One John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and see if his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen, and do testify, that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Dearest Lord, teach us now to pray, and do grant us of thy good spirit, Lord, that prayer might be indited, that we may ask aright, according to thy will. And how often, where there is that grace, with the dear hymn writer, we must plead, O bend my will to thine. We would be thankful, O Lord, for the throne of grace that we have one to go to, the true God, the living God, the prayer hearing, prayer answering God, he who is faithful, merciful, good, kind, full of compassion. O Lord, ever near at the throne of grace, and that access granted to poor, needy, guilty sinners to come before thee. And yet, Lord, how often we neglect prayer, we do not pray. Oh, how often we might lean upon our own understanding, or go down to Egypt for help and lean upon an arm of flesh. Lord, do we not prove few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair? And Lord, we must confess how often our prayers are lukewarm. Oh Lord, our prayers, often we feel, are so poor and lacking. At times we feel ashamed, we feel so troubled. Do I really pray? Lord, ever grant us that true spirit of prayer. And at times we need stirring up. And Lord, is it not like Hezekiah, when in affliction, in sickness, in trouble, in distress, we prove that by these things men live? Oh Lord, when there is that stirring up, when troubles and afflictions are sanctified, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, not till then. And we think of the disciples in the storm. Oh, how that storm raged, how the disciples struggled. And when they greatly feared capsizing and perishing, then they go to Jesus. And Lord, we're just the same. We're no better. Oh, what poor sinners we are. Lord, have mercy upon us. And grant, Lord, that true spirit of prayer. And, oh, Lord, we would be thankful for another occasion, another opportunity to meet together in thine earthly courts here. Another time to worship God in this public way. Another time to hear the word of God. Another time we hope and trust to hear the gospel. Another time to hear what God the Lord saith. Oh Lord, another time to gather together in thy name. Another time to seek thy gracious presence here. Oh, may it be, Lord, and we speak reverently, another time of feeding, another time of blessing, another time of help. Oh, another time when the word of the Lord came with power, unction, authority. Another time when Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh, another time. Lord, how we long for these times when he walked with us by the way and opened to us the scriptures. Oh, another time of heart burning. Oh, Lord, another time to receive of thy word. Lord, may we not be left to just merely come and go. Oh, Lord, but may there be an eternal purpose in our gathering here tonight. May thy Spirit be at work. Oh, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, who be present to bless and command thy blessing and prosper thy word and glorify thy name. Lord, thou knowest how each one has turned in. Lord, what thoughts in our hearts have brought us here. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Those who have come prayerfully, those who have come in felt need, those who have come with that spiritual hunger and thirst, those who have come with that cry, we would see Jesus. Those longing for a blessing, a touch, a token, a portion and handful of purpose. All that food convenient, those crumbs from the master's table. Those, Lord, greatly troubled, lest thou should be silent. Oh, cause thy glorious voice to be heard. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, and grant us each that hearing of faith. O Lord, do bless us here, we pray, and let thy work appear. O do make it manifest, Lord, that thy Spirit has been at work here. Ah, like those of old who could so rejoice when the Lord was in the house. But Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Oh, without thee our worship is formal. Without thee our worship is fleshly. Lord, save us from it and grant us of thy good spirit. Should there be any here unconcerned and indifferent, satisfied with a form, Lord, have mercy and call them by thy grace and begin that work of grace in their heart. Remember burdened souls, seeking souls, longing souls. Lord, do remember those in soul trouble. Remember those in darkness, captivity, bondage, affliction. Oh, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. And Lord, remember such who long to know their sins forgiven. their peace with God, who long for that sweet assurance to say that my beloved is mine and I am his. Lord, those who long for the Lord to appear, the Lord to provide, who need thy help, who need divine guidance, who need instruction, those like Jehoshaphat, and neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Lord, those struggling in their pathway, in their lot, in their circumstances, those who may feel the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Also, when I cry and shout, all my prayer he shutteth out. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? How long, O Lord, shall I complain, like one that seeks his God in vain? Wilt thou thy face for ever hide? Can I still pray and be denied? Lord, bless this cause of truth. Remember them still. Oh, do continue to work in the hearts of many here. May this yet prove to be the spiritual birthplace of many a soul, that this and that man was born in her. Do bless the church. Remember the officers. Grant wisdom and grace. Grant all needed help. Remember thy true sent servants who minister here from time to time. And Lord, use them in thy service. Oh, may there be that faithful ministry, but that ministry of love and compassion, not that hard legal ministry. Oh, Lord, and do bless thy word here, that many hearts may be touched. Do great things for them again, whereof they shall be glad. And, Lord, what we pray for here, we pray for each cause represented. Remember Zion. And, O Lord, as the friends here have been favoured of late to see the baptistry opened again, oh, the many causes represented here who long, oh, and pray and beg and plead, Lord, that they also might be so favoured. Oh, to know thy spirit remaineth, to see sinners called by thy grace, and brought to make that open profession of their faith in thee. O Lord, remember Zion. Do, Lord, remember thy servants here, Lord. Do be with, and bless, and help, and encourage. Lord, how often it may be felt I have laboured in vain and spent my strength for naught. Sure, Jeremiah must have felt that. O Lord, do grant those encouragements from time to time. Lord, do remember Zion. Shine upon the churches, those causes struggling for survival, ministered and brought so low. O Lord, do appear and be pleased yet to raise up, equip and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry, to great need there is, a need which only God can supply. Remember thy people scattered throughout the whole earth, all who love and fear thy name. O Lord, in various nations, various tongues, we pray for those persecuted, opposed and attacked, imprisoned, in bondage and captivity, those who are isolated and lonely. Lord, remember them and prosper thy word throughout the whole earth. Lord, remember our nation. Have mercy upon us, spare us yet. O Lord, how troubled we are, how concerned we are the state of our nation. O, to the greater extent of godless anxiety. O Lord, forsake us not utterly, but have mercy, Lord, we pray, and overrule our rulers. Dear Lord, you remember the nations of the earth, where there is or is talk of war, rumours of war, nation rising up against nation, the armies increasing. Lord, we live in perilous times, unstable times. Help us to look to thee, God upon the throne, God in control. Now we would be thankful for every mercy, every blessing. Oh Lord, do grant us each truly thankful hearts. How we feel to come so far short in our praise and thanksgiving, but we would be thankful. Oh Lord, remember us now. Oh Lord, may this be made a special service to some souls here. And oh Lord, as a collection is for the needy cases, oh Lord, remember the needy. Oh Lord, the poor, the distressed. Oh Lord, undertake for such. Hear then our poor prayer, and forgive our every sin. And following this service, Lord, be pleased to take each one back to their own homes in peace and safety. And oh, with a blessing. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone.
Hymn number 339. Oh, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears. But greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. Hymn 339.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the first epistle of John, chapter 4 and verse 19. 1 John 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. So with the Lord's help, we continue this theme of God's wonderful love and his love manifest unto his dear people. We tried this afternoon to speak from Jeremiah in chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And we tried to speak of God the Father's electing love, God the Son, the Lord Jesus, his redeeming love, and God the Holy Ghost, his sanctifying love. Oh, it is a tremendous theme to be brought to understand a little of God's love. Oh, God's love towards poor sinners. God's love unto those whom he hath chosen. And yet these souls are sinners, guilty sinners. They have sinned against him. They have broken his holy law. They all deserve hell. They all deserve the wrath of God. They all deserve the punishment of their sins. And I believe every child of God will be brought to confess. Oh, what a confession. And if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. Oh, the child of God who feels something of a plague of his own heart, something of that guilt of sin, oh, something of what he is by nature, and though he may try to reform his life, though he may try to please God, he fails. He comes short. He proves that he cannot cease from sin. Or he proves that sin is mixed in all that he thinks and says and does. He proves that he's a repetitive sinner. Oh, he proves that he is sold under sin, all unholy and unclean. I am nothing else but sin. But oh, to know something of God's love, his wonderful love towards a poor, fallen, guilty sinner. That God's love is our everlasting love. The Lord never takes away that love. The Lord has purposes of grace. And as we notice with the Holy Spirit, when that work of grace is begun, when that soul is born again, the Lord has dealings with that soul. Oh, the Lord will cause that soul to know, yes, something of himself as a sinner, but something of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour of sinners. and there to begin to understand something of the love of God in sending his only begotten Son into the world to save sinners. All those who by the Spirit are brought to believe in him, have faith in him, flee to him, hope in him, call upon him, these souls who are brought to need him as the one thing needful. The one thing needful. The Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. Oh, may there be none here this evening lacking that one thing needful. Oh, may the Lord so burn that truth into our hearts that one thing is needful. Now, to every troubled, burdened soul, hearing, reading of the love of God toward his people, all that soul will long to know that God has set his love upon them. I think we quoted this afternoon, Jacob, have I loved? Esau, have I hated? And yet it is the quickened soul, the convicted soul, that one in soul trouble who feels the plague of his own heart, who feels the guilt of his sin, who may come to that conclusion that God hates them. Or they know what they deserve, the wrath of God, the fury of God, the anger of God, God's utter hatred of sin, and that God will punish the sinner. Be sure your sin will find you out. We live in such a day and society when sin, on the whole, is counted such a light, easy, trivial thing. Surely such know not God. Oh, may the Lord have mercy, and may the Lord teach us of the truth of God's hatred of sin. Oh, may the Lord bring us to truly confess our sins unto him and flee to that refuge he has provided for sinners in Jesus alone. Yes, out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. And oh, there's been many a troubled soul feeling to be out of Christ, fearing the wrath of God, knowing what they deserve, and yet praying to be saved from what they deserve. Oh, to know God's love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Well, I believe this afternoon we mentioned that there are two ways, I believe, in which the burdened soul can see that God has set his love upon them. Now, one, we mentioned this afternoon, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Drawn to the throne of grace. Drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. All drawn in our felt need of him to save us from all of our sins. All drawn to his precious blood that cleanseth from all sin, drawn to his righteousness, which alone is acceptable unto God, drawn to his precious word and those precious promises And in many, many ways, that soul is drawn by irresistible grace. And what a wonderful mercy if we know something personally of what it is to be drawn to God. You see, self, the world, and Satan will draw us away from God. And the Word of God and the ways of God. Isn't that a wonderful word we read here? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Irresistible grace. The Lord so mightily drawing his people unto him. And though self, Satan, and the world may vex and oppose and try to hinder, all the Lord will yet conquer. And that soul shall be drawn unto the Lord. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, what of the second way in which this soul may be brought to that hope that God loves them? We love him because he first loved us. What a test of our religion, of our profession. Dear friend, are we found in this word tonight? We love him. If it is, or it can only be because of what follows, he first loved us. Oh, if God had not set his love upon us, then it can never be that we love him. We would be no better than those in the day when they cried out, away with him, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. What a great mercy if we can feel something in our hearts, in true honesty before God, that we love him. Well, let us come back to this point. Do we need him? Do we need him to save us from all of our sins? Do we believe that he is able to save us from all of our sins? Do we believe his precious blood cleanseth us from all sin? There is that virtue, there is that power to make atonement for sin. Well, surely such souls will be found drawn to him, and in being drawn to him, is there not that love to him? We love him. Now, God's love unto his people is eternal. It is fixed. It is faithful. It never deviates. It never fluctuates. It is constant. It is always there. But oh, what poor returns from us. What poor, poor returns. Oh, that many a child of God bemoans his lack of love. Oh, even seeking souls, those who would love him, those who desire to love him, those who need him, and yet they still find all their love is so poor, full of doubts and fears, full of misgivings. All that love which at a time may seem lacking, when perhaps we feel to be so cold, so hard-hearted. Or perhaps there are times when we do not feel the Lord to be near, we do not find him. And we can be upset Oh, we can be so troubled. We perhaps greatly question, does the Lord really love me? And yet I believe deep down in the heart where the Holy Spirit is at work, there is that principle of love. It's that love working in the heart. It's the Holy Spirit drawing that soul unto the Lord Jesus, teaching that soul the doctrine of Christ and the person of Christ. Oh, setting Christ before the eye of faith as the one thing needful, the pearl of great price, the only one who can save from hell, sin, and death. And as the Lord draws his people unto himself, I do believe they are brought to love him more and more. More and more. We love him because he first loved us. Well, I say a great test of our religion, what think ye of Christ, is a test to try both our state and the scheme. We cannot be right in the rest unless we think rightly of him, to know him as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Lord, and our God, our Beloved. I did just ponder earlier today whether to read from the Song of Solomon, that book that is very figurative, at times very deep, and yet we have there the two Beloveds as they speak to each other as Beloved. And we see there Christ and his church, his people, his children. And we see there that wonderful love of the bridegroom to the bride, Christ to his church. And we also see that love the church has to him. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Oh, what a great question. Is he the chiefest among 10,000? The altogether lovely? Oh, we love him because he first loved us. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He is precious as the Saviour. Our only hope, our only plea, then he becomes precious, perhaps more precious, as our Saviour. Oh, when we have that sweet hope in the finished work of the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus who came to save his people from their sins, we are found amongst that blessed number, of whom the Lord Jesus came to save from all their sins. And as the Lord draws his people closer to him, oh, to know him, to look upon him, as they're brought to see Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and Christ upon the cross, and as I think we mentioned this afternoon, to see something of our sins laid upon him and what he endured, or what he suffered, or when we see his precious blood so shed, or when we see him bearing our sins away, oh, then that love surely will be found in our hearts. Sweet the moments rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, life and health and peace ensuing from the dying sinner's friend. We love him because he first loved us. And yet perhaps we long for those evidences that we truly love him. Or we long to know that that love we have is that true love. There are many in Christianity who say that they love the Lord Jesus. Well, may the Lord bring us to this test. By their fruits ye shall know them. To the child of God, that is very searching and very solemn. By their fruits ye shall know them. And I believe I am right in saying the fruits of the Spirit we read of in Ephesians 6, I believe the first is love. Is love. Surely love to God. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The mercy seat, where his precious blood was shed to make atonement for sin, or that the sinner might be forgiven, or that the sinner might be pardoned, that the sinner might be cleansed, that the sinner might be washed, that the sinner might be saved and redeemed, and sent his Son, who so willingly came on that errand of love. You remember that line in the hymn, emptied himself of all but love. And having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, to be the propitiation for our sins. All that love to God. Like Peter, we at times fall. We fail. Or it might be said, where is thy love? Where is thy love to God? Now Peter, left to himself, would proudly boast, though all men deny thee, so will not I. He had yet to learn that great lesson that he needed to be kept. That he would have no confidence in the flesh, or that he could not keep himself. He meant well, but he must yet learn of his infirmities and weaknesses and failings. He must go into Satan's sieve. Oh, what an awful sieve is Satan's sieve. Perhaps some here have known what it is in measure to be in Satan's sieve, to have our faith shaken, sorely shaken by things which have happened, things which we've been left to do, or when a temptation was too strong, when we proved our weakness, that we could not keep ourselves, no, not for a moment. First of all, we notice Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. What could he not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. But Peter did enter into temptation in the high priest's house. Or when first that maid just said to him, surely thou art one of them, and Peter denied. And then another spoke concerning Peter. He denied again. But then another affirmed, surely thou art one of them. Oh, how he denied his Lord and Saviour. I know not the man. an absolute denial of any knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Peter had known and followed and loved and professed for 3 years, all the time he had been a disciple. But now in Satan's sieve, I know not the man. Would Jesus take away his love? Would Jesus take away his compassion? Would Jesus take away his mercy? No. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Oh, the cock crew the second time. Jesus looked upon Peter. We cannot begin to imagine what was in that look. But what was in that look broke Peter's heart. You see, though Peter was in Satan's sieve, had not the Lord Jesus promised him, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." We cannot imagine the feelings of Peter as he went out and wept bitterly as he considered what he had done, what he had said. "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." What love. Oh, what love. What love of the Lord Jesus unto dear Peter there. But then after the resurrection, oh, there in John 21, we read at the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus turns to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" These 10 other disciples with thee. "Lovest thou me more than these?" He singles out Peter. As Peter had boasted before, "Although all men deny thee, so will not I." But Peter had been left to deny the Lord Jesus. But Jesus would not deny dear Peter. What love. Peter replied, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep." There was that commandment. Feed my sheep. Then the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Again, Peter replied, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my lambs, my little ones, my tender ones." And then the third time, the Lord Jesus turned to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Those who understand the original Greek say that each time the Lord Jesus repeated that question, there was a deeper meaning. "Peter, do you really, really love me?" Perhaps that is why Peter was grieved when Jesus asked in the third time, "Lovest thou me more than these?" "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest my heart. Thou knowest the truth. Lord, I'm a poor sinner. Lord, I have failed. Oh, Lord, I am guilty. Lord, I cannot keep myself. No, not for a moment. But Lord, thou knowest, poor as I am, sinful as I am, weak as I am, foolish as I am, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep." "If ye love me, keep my commandments. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, what an evidence of our love to him. If ye love me. Oh, not just in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Keep my commandments. And as it has been said, that 11th commandment is a commandment of love. Or if we have any hope in the love of God to our never-dying souls, any hope that all we are one of his dear people, any hope that the Lord Jesus suffered, bled and died for us to put away our sins, any hope that we have been born again by the Holy Spirit that we have found amongst the children of God, or that we truly love him. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Oh, not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And how often we come back to these words of the Lord Jesus, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And Jesus set the perfect example. His whole life here below was a life of denying self, a life of sacrifice, or a life wherein he served his Father, he served God, or a life of love. Oh, in his ministry, you see his love shining forth. His love to those in need, his love to those who came, his compassion, his kindness, his goodness. He never ever sent away one poor needy soul, both of Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, old or young. As we close this afternoon, and he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Not even that woman caught in adultery. Hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, a great theme really running through the two chapters we read is a theme of God's love. God's love to his people and his love also to them. But then, as the Lord Jesus so loves all his people, his commandment of love is that we should love one another. Did we not read? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It's that commandment of love, to love one another. I don't know why I keep coming back to these words, not in word, neither in tongue, to say these things, to profess these things, but to do these things indeed and in truth. Now that loving one another. And yet we're all poor sinners. Or at times perhaps that love is lacking. Or perhaps at times that love is very faint and very poor. You see, because we are poor sinners, we can misunderstand one another, we can upset one another, or we can say things which perhaps we wish we hadn't said, and there may be that hurt, there may be that sorrow. But you think of God's pardoning, forgiving love. Do we not read, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you? Yes, at times we need much grace to forgive one another. And yet, is it not in the love of God? Oh, the wonderful love of God. You see, if we have that hope that God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven our sins, then surely we found in our text we love him because he first loved us. So how can we not forgive those who sin against us? And yet by nature our hearts can be so hard. Or we can be so full of anger, emotion. We can be so cross and so upset. Why should I forgive them? Well, if we have that humble hope that we are 500 pence debtors, or perhaps much, much, much more than that, and yet these are 50 pence debtors. When we consider our sins, the enormity of our sins, the immensity of our sins, the greatness of our sins, the awfulness of our sins, and yet to have that hope that God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven, pardoned, put away all of our sins. Well, then how can we not forgive one another? There seems to be a real burden resting upon the Apostle John as he writes here to these believers. All that we are to love one another. We love him because he first loved us. By their fruits ye shall know them. And where there is that love one to another, oh, surely there is that bearing one another, praying for one another. The collection tonight or today is for the needy cases, and whenever we think of that, yes, it may be providential needy cases, but we think, oh, I'm sure here this evening there are many needy cases in various ways. Oh, I'm sure all of us, we've got our troubles, we've got our problems, we've got our trials. Perhaps the majority are hidden one from another. As dear Mr. Wood often used to say, you in your small corner and me in mine. We have our own pathway, or we have our own difficulties. Oh, may the Lord so grant us that spirit of prayer that we have found praying one for another, to see a brother or sister in distress, in affliction, or to see them in sorrow and bereavement, or to see them in such difficulties and problems, to see them cast down and dejected. Oh, may the Lord grant us that spirit of prayer, praying one for another. We love him. By their fruits ye shall know them. Or at times we may be so hard-hearted. We may look upon others and we don't feel we want to pray for them. You know, at times our hearts can be so hard. Did not the Lord Jesus once reprove his disciples for hardening their hearts? We may think of Pharaoh, who hardened his heart. That was against God. We can be guilty of hardening our hearts against God, but also hardening our hearts against one another. Such surely is not the Spirit of Christ, who never hardened his heart against his people. You see, his compassions. He had compassion. I come back to that of the man who fell amongst thieves and rode to Jericho. I know we don't literally read of it, but you think of the Levite and the priest. They looked upon him, or they may have had hard thoughts against him. Well, he shouldn't have been going that way. He was doing wrong. And, well, really, they were hard-hearted. they showed no compassion, passed by on the other side. But this certain Samaritan, oh, his heart was touched. He felt for that one in need. He had compassion. Oh, not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth he went to him. He cared for him. He looked after him. Oh, you see that love manifest in deed and in truth. But whoso hath this world's good, that doesn't necessarily only mean in a providential way, in a practical way. What the Lord has given to us, what the Lord has favoured us with. But whoso hath this world's good, and see if his brother hath need, and shutteth up his powers of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Or may we not be guilty of shutting up our bowels of compassion to one another, or when we see one in need, then may our hearts be touched. May we be found of these true followers, these true disciples. Oh, may the love of God be manifest in our hearts, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these little ones, ye have done it unto me. Remember, if our religion is real, we are called to a life of self-denial. That very much goes against the grain of teaching today in our nation. Man doesn't like to deny self. He likes to put self first, consider self, or then consider others. No, it should be God first, others second, and self last. We love him because he first loved us. Or we love him as we follow him, as we trust in him, as we serve him, as we wait upon him, as we look to him, and may that love deepen, or that love to the Lord Jesus. You see, with Peter, after he had been restored, I'm sure his love, oh, how it grew. His love to the Lord Jesus in not dealing with him as his sin so richly deserved, in not cutting him off. Oh, how he loved the Lord Jesus. May we also, in our lives and with the Lord's dealings, understanding more and more of his love. What a wonderful thing to feel something of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. To be raised to that hope in the mercy of God. Or to feel something of God's love toward us. Then surely we shall love him. And as we love him, surely we shall obey him. I just come back, perhaps in conclusion, to these words. If ye love me, keep my commandments. My commandments are not grievous. Now, I rather feel in my spirit not to mention any of these commandments specifically. Now, you know in your heart if the Lord has laid a commandment upon you. If the Lord is calling you to obey him. Now, it may be to obey him, there must be that denial of self. I'm sure there will be that denial of self. But you see, the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, it's for Jesus' sake. It's in following him. It's in humble obedience to him. Not my will, but thine be done. I know, dear friends, that can be the hardest prayer to pray. Thy will be done. Oh, Lord, not this. Lord, I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't go through this. Oh, what grace we need to obey. You see, in the Lord Jesus, perfect obedience unto his Father. Oh, may the Lord grant us that obedience unto him. If ye love me, keep my commandments. We love him because he first loved us. And because he first loved us, he drew us unto himself. He revealed himself unto us. He made known his love toward us. And we, oh, we love him. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Oh, try my heart and see, and tear each hateful idol down that dares to rival thee. We love him because he first loved us.
Let us close with hymn 184. Our fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Hymn 184.
Thank you.
And now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.